Welcome to Software Gone Wild, today focused on software-defined monitoring and testing. And as I announced the subject of this podcast, I immediately got all the co-hosts saying, yeah, I want to be on this one. So today with me are Elisa, David, and Nick. And our guest is Matt Oswald, who wrote a crazy blog post a few months ago talking about something called Todd. So, Matt, how are you doing?
Good, Ivan. How are you?
Pretty good. So what's this Todd thing all about?
It is the manifestation of apparently me having too much time on my hands, for one thing. But for another thing, it's something I'm passionate about. I like to write tools that are useful to people, and I sort of started thinking about use cases. What kind of things could I work on to contribute to the community at large? And I focused on Todd for a few months.
So what is Todd? What does it stand for? Let's start with that. It's not a name.
No, it is an acronym, but it just happens to be a nice proper noun too. So the name is Todd. That stands for Testing on Demand, distributed. The idea being that this piece of software allows you to perform tests on network infrastructure, either by network engineers, meaning there's the network engineering-centric use case. There's also the way that I built it, hopefully, is conducive to not just network engineers, hopefully conducive to a whole lot of people, especially software developers who want to see if their application is holding up, things like that.
All right. So when you say testing on demand, what can you test?
So the way that this is one of the unique features of Todd, because there are a few tools that do the kind of thing that Todd does, but one of the things that Todd is pretty unique in is that from the ground up, I built it under the assumption that somebody was going to have some sort of custom defined test they wanted to distribute. And I'll give you a good example. Let's say you wanted to be able to, you know, curl a web page, you know, from your desktop. That's pretty easy to do, right? You can type curl and some parameters in the URL that you want. What Todd does is it takes that, you know, just very simple, very, very simple example and distributes it according to some primitives that are established in the tool. And so, for instance, if you wanted to say, hey, I have, you know, 50 Todd agents that are running in my data center, and I'd like all of them to curl that web page all at once, that's essentially what Todd is orchestrating. Now, take those primitives and operate under the assumption that whatever that the test that I just said could be replaced with anything you want. So I have example. I call these things testlets to sort of illustrate the fact that this tool Todd has been built from the ground up to support a very customized testing framework. So you can take any sort of test that you have, whether it's the curl example. There's examples in the repo that do iperf, fully distributed iperf. So if you had 50 Todd agents and you wanted to run them as servers against or as clients against 50 other Todd agents that are maybe out at some remote sites, it wouldn't be any different. You would still run the test in the same way, and Todd would take care of handling the connections on the back end.
Okay, so the obvious question would be, didn't this exist before? Why do we need a new tool to do that?
Well, so there are a few tools in existence and that have existed for a while that do some of that, but they don't do both the distributed part and the customized part, at least not what I've seen. There are some tools that allow you to run sort of web-centric testing in a distributed format. One example that comes to mind is JMeter. That's a very common web testing tool. The other thing, the other one that I've heard a lot of, and Nick, I think you would appreciate this. I'm aware of Perf Sonar, which is sort of seems to be the network centric version of this, and it is of course distributed, but then it misses that flexibility that Todd offers. Again, Todd is built from the ground up to support totally custom testlets, meaning testlets that the way that the testlets work is not baked into Todd. Todd relies on those external entities to define the actual underlying features of how that test is performed. Todd just cares about the distributed nature of the test and how to perform that agnostically.
So it's kind of an Ansible for testing.
Sure, you can think of it that way, except that, again, I tried to, one of my design goals for Todd was to leave as little, basically provide the user with choice and flexibility, but not so much that it becomes a burden to use. The balance being, of course, a problem that we've had in networking and computer science for quite some time, actually, the balance between user experience and feature richness, you know, the choice of being able to do things that you want to do without being constrained. And so with Todd, what I've tried to do is strike a nice balance between, you know, this thing sort of works out of the box, but it also has the ability to do much, much more if you would like it to.
So how easy is it then, Matt, to let's say add in a different tool? So if somebody come up with a new way of, I don't know, testing RTP and they came up with a client, can you just talk us through the idea around wrapping that into Todd?
Sure. So today there are three types of tests that Todd supports. And again, that's not baked into Todd. It's just those are testlets that I've written and I've placed in the repo. Now, I'd like to sort of circle back on this topic here in a little bit, because this is actually rapidly changing. I'm making some pretty big changes to the way that the Todd project is run and organized. So let's come back to that. In the meantime, just to keep it high level for now, there are three types of tests that you can run in Todd, one of which is ping. Pretty straightforward, right? You say, hey, I want these endpoints to ping each other, or these endpoints to ping this remote IP address, whatever it is, and they'll do that. You can also run HTTP testing. So this is actually curl on the back end, and I've written a testlet that basically wraps curl and then parses the metrics that come out of it. And then the other one is iperf. So I've actually done the same thing that I mentioned with curl, but for the iperf daemon. And what you can do is you can say, hey, I want to test between these two groups of Todd agents. So you have a group called data center, maybe another group called headquarters, and you could have 50 agents in each group, or you would have one agent in each group. The way that you run the test doesn't really care about the number of agents in the group. Tests are run between groups, or from a group at least, from a source group at least. Okay, but in the case of iperf, it's between groups.
Got you. So in the case of a many-to-many test then, it's pretty obvious it's going to be a huge amount of data. So how are you handling the extraction of data from the nodes? And a bit of a spoiler alert, I mean, I'm quite privileged in seeing Todd in various kind of phases, and I've also seen it with a client where I've seen the data going live. So I mean, can you explain how the data extraction works, or the data output from Todd?
Yeah, absolutely. So the way that the agents, and first I'll talk about the communications between the agents and the server. Right now it takes place over RabbitMQ. That part of the code is very modular. So if somebody wanted to come in and write an extension to that to say, hey, use Apache Kafka instead, that's absolutely something that's possible. It's just a matter of what's been written thus far. So right now it's RabbitMQ. And basically that message queue, that message bus is used just for command and control purposes. So basically the server, when you say, hey, run this test, it knows about what agents are registered and what group they're in and things like that. So it renders that topology and sort of sends instructions out to the agents ahead of time. It says, hey, this is a test that you're about to run. So during the test, actually, there's no required communication between the server and the agent. The agent sort of runs its test and then caches its results locally. Now, it's not going to delete those until it can actually re-communicate with the server. To your point, some tests might actually obscure the communication between the server and the agents. And so those agents will cache those metrics until they can communicate and confirm that the server has received them.
Okay, if we now take a step back. So what you wrote is a distributed platform on which I can write my own tests.
That's exactly right. And I'll just add to that, that's a very good point to bring up, because that is like the chief design principle of Todd. It was built under the assumption that all of the testing logic would be provided outside of the framework itself. That said, I have written some examples. We'll call them examples. They're in separate repos. So I've provided some of the types of tests that I think are applicable to everyone. For instance, the HTTP testlet, which basically does HTTP gets. That's something that everybody can use. That's not specific to anybody's infrastructure. But an example of something that I couldn't write for you is maybe a script that goes and actually runs through a transaction on your e-commerce site, for instance. Of course, that would be specific to that web application. And so using the same methods that I've done to write sort of the canonical examples, you can absolutely use those same principles and write your own. Again, the framework of Todd was built under the assumption that all of that testing logic, the actual logic of how that test is run on a single node, is provided outside of Todd. Todd just takes care of the distribution.
Okay, and this leads quite nicely into how you actually build the Todd framework itself and how you distribute Todd. So if you think about either a totally private environment, you don't need IPsec VPNs, maybe you use Cloud Elements. So maybe take us through the first steps, how you get Todd installed and do some basic stuff, and then maybe some high-level architecture stuff. So if you wanted to maybe deploy an agent in a data center and emulate a user experience, like so the e-commerce example you gave earlier on was a pretty cool one.
Yeah, sure. So first off, Todd is still pretty young. This is a personal project of mine. It's not something that I really have, a day job worth of time to work on. So we haven't cut a full release yet, but when we do, I fully expect that we'll be able to provide things like RPM packages and things like that. That'll make things a lot easier. But in effect, what you get with Todd is three parts. You get the client, which is just a command line utility, right? You type the command Todd base and then agents, for instance, if you wanted to list the agents, so Todd agents. There's a bunch of other commands that you can use. That you also have the server. So Todd runs a server. This is pretty much just an orchestrator. Don't think of this as something that participates in the tests, because it doesn't at all. The agents are what participate in the tests, and they're the only ones that participate in the tests. The server is really an orchestrator and also a metrics aggregator. So all of the metrics get reported back to the server. The server then communicates with a time series database and something like that. And then finally, the agents themselves, as I mentioned, they're the ones that actually perform the tests. And so you're going to want to deploy those where that testing is relevant. And then you can place the client and server pretty much anywhere that you want. Obviously, the client would make a lot of sense on your laptop. The server might make sense as a, you know, inside of a VM in your data center or something like that. But that's up to you.
Okay.
So the whole thing, I would guess, is written in Python, right?
Actually, no. The entire thing is written in Go, with the exception of the testlets today. This is one of the things that I am working on at the moment. And actually, by the time this podcast is out, it'd probably be done. So let me just say, the thing is pure Go. And if it's not pure Go, it's being phased out. Right now, the testlets are written in Bash. And that was just a sort of proof of concept thing. I'm rewriting them in Go so that the tooling can be used consistently. But yeah, Go is the language of choice here.
So what would be the minimum requirements for an agent, be it client or server?
Yeah, so if you want to compile it yourself, obviously you need Go installed. The version that I'm using is 1.6. That's what my CI framework is set to compile at. So 1.6 will work. I started developing, I think, in 1.4, so that should work too. I don't think I'm using too many new features, with the exception of vendoring. So I would say 1.6 is what you want to start with. Of course, if you don't want to compile it yourself, again, when I cut a release, I'll be providing pre-compiled binaries. If you don't mind using the binaries that I compile for you, then by all means, you can use those, in which case the requirements are essentially nothing from a system perspective. You will, of course, need all of the external dependencies that Todd has. As I mentioned, it runs over RabbitMQ. You'll need to have a RabbitMQ server, which isn't too difficult to set up these days. There's also etcd, which is the database that Todd uses to store metrics before uploading them to a TSDB. And then, of course, the TSDB itself. I use InfluxDB. That's the integration that I've built today. But you can actually disable that if you don't want to set up a TSDB and you just want to see the metrics on your screen.
But underlying all this is Linux, or can this run on a Cisco router?
So this is actually one of the reasons why I'm rewriting the testlets. I can't speak to the Cisco router example because I haven't tested that, though that would certainly be interesting. And one of the things that I've been doing is rewriting the testlets from Bash into Go for exactly that reason, to provide a lot more portability and cross-platform testing. So once this is done, really, it's a simple matter of, I think, you know, talking to maybe some product managers at Cisco and saying, hey, is there a way for us to get this running on a Cisco router? What platform should I compile for? Things like that. Having everything written in Go makes that conversation a lot easier. And I should mention, nothing super meaningful has come of this yet, but there has actually been some interest from not one, but actually two vendors to that effect that want to get a Todd agent running on their platform.
So one of the things that you mentioned, running this from the perspective of a piece of network equipment, that was actually one of the first things I thought of when I saw this, because there's been work in the past. You'd mentioned Perf Sonar. I had done a little bit of work to figure out what it would take and how to run as a virtualized instance on a piece of network gear. But one of the obvious questions and issues that came up was that, you know, there's a lot of overhead associated with that. If it could be something a little bit smaller, you know, something akin to maybe like the NLNOG ring tool set or something like that, which this is also sort of in the same family of, you know, that would provide a much lower resource overhead. So I think that's one of the things that I would really like to see out of this.
Sure, and I should mention the Todd agent is so super small. It's a compiled binary, and there's not really a lot to it. Again, the purpose of an agent is to sort of listen on that message queue for instructions from the server, and then do some basic logic to figure out how to run the test, and then basically pass those arguments to the actual downstream testlet, which is usually going to be another binary, or in the case of maybe you writing your own, could be a script, right? You could write a Python script as long as it takes the arguments that the testlet standard dictates and outputs to standard out as JSON. You can write your own testlet in any language. I've just chose to write mine in Go, again, for that simplicity and for the consistency. But as I mentioned, the testlets as they are today are written in Bash, but that's changing, so they'll be written in Go soon. I've had interest from people wanting to write them in Python. All of these are supported, again, as long as, and this is actually really, really similar to Ansible modules, as long as you can take the input that the Todd agent is going to send you and provide the output metrics to standard out as JSON in the right format again, then you can write it in any language you want.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it'll distribute it for you as well. One of the things that I built into the server is there's a directory on the server where you place the testlets, so you don't even have to worry about getting them onto the agents. If you don't want, obviously you can place them there if you want. There's nothing prohibiting you from doing that. But just for ease of use, one of the things that I built into the server was if you place the testlet that you wrote, let's say it's a Python script, and again, if Python is supported on the agents, then all you would have to do is put that Python script in a directory on the server. The server would then notify the agents that there's a new testlet, and it would actually serve that testlet over HTTP directly from that server binary itself. And so it'll just pick that up and serve it to all of the agents. They'll download it, and when they report back to the server, they'll mention that they have that that agent installed, or that testlet installed.
That's very useful. And, you know, frankly, I'd be lying if I said I hadn't already brought this up as an additional toolkit that I want added to Perf Sonar.
Oh, cool.
Okay, which brings us to the next question. Who is using this?
I have had interest from a lot of folks, from an introductory perspective especially. I know of a few vendors, and I don't think they're ready to say who they are, so unfortunately I don't know if I should disclose that, that are, again, very interested. Nothing meaningful has come of it yet, but they are interested in getting this running on their platform. I have heard of one vendor actually publish training material with Todd mentioned, so I guess they're doing something with virtual topologies, and they're using Todd to make tests against that topology and show the students how the whole network is working. There's also a few folks that are asking questions actually on the Network to Code Slack channel. So if you're not familiar with that, Jason Edelman has spun up a Slack channel that, if I remember correctly, almost 1,000 people in it, which is incredible. And there's a Todd channel there. So just about every week I get hit up by folks that are trying to get Todd running. Some of the questions are pretty simple, like how do I compile a Go project, to very complicated. In fact, I had one person out of the blue, without any other help from me, ask, why is this test run not working, and so on and so forth, which indicates that they've gotten a ways down the road with Todd. And that was pleasing to me. Mainly the activity that I see, I currently use as sort of material that tells me how good my docs are, because I know they're not where they need to be, but they're always evolving, and I'm very passionate about documentation, so I try to make sure that it's as up to date as I can make it. And that's one of the great things about having that Slack channel, is I get hit up just about every week, and I'm updating it as a result.
It's like someone set it up without any questions. Score.
Yeah, exactly. That's always a good feeling, and you never know when that's going to happen or if that's going to happen, because especially, I released this in March, and so actually it hasn't been that long. It feels a lot longer than it has been. But, you always wonder about that, especially if things go silent. If nobody's talking about it at all for, a week or two, then you start to wonder, man, are my docs really that scary?
So how do you set it up? Anything special you need to consider, or there's a setup file and it just installs all the dependencies and whatever you need?
So with Go projects, you can think of it very similar to other compiled languages, where any software dependencies, meaning any libraries that Todd requires, are actually vendored in the repository itself. So obviously I'm using a RabbitMQ client, an InfluxDB client. Those are all baked into the repository. That's the best practice for Go. The system dependencies, however, things like other services like InfluxDB or RabbitMQ, those servers, those have to be running as well. Now, I should mention, in the repository, this is all in the Todd repository, which we'll link to here in a little bit, there are several interesting files that you might want to use. First of which is a makefile. That's standard for a Go project, as well as a lot of other compiled languages. You can run that to compile the project. There's also a script in the scripts directory called start-containers. Basically, if you have Docker running, this script is going to spin up all of those third-party dependencies that you have that I mentioned, things like etcd and RabbitMQ and things like that, things that Todd needs to communicate with the agents. And then finally, to tie all of that together, there's also a vagrant file. And this was something I provided a long time ago, but actually I've had, I think, three other people contribute usability improvements to that, to make the Vagrant machine a lot easier to use. And for those that don't know Vagrant, basically it's a command line utility for spinning up VMs. The benefit to you as a user of Todd being, you can use this to simply type Vagrant up. You install Vagrant, you go into this directory and type Vagrant up. And what it does is it spins up a virtual machine with everything you need for Todd. It does the folder redirection, so it shows the files that are in the repository within the VM. You can then type make, and then and make install, sudo make install, and then you've got Todd running. And then you've got that script start containers script that allows you to start all the external dependencies, and it's all there in the VM. Instead of you trying to get this working on your Mac, which, maybe has a few different steps, or getting this working on Windows, which hasn't crossed my mind.
So instead of you asking me to install RabbitMQ somewhere, for example, you just start a container with RabbitMQ on the VM that's running Todd, and all that's done through Vagrant.
Well, in fact, I should have mentioned the Vagrant machine actually does install Docker. And so if you really just want to get started and you don't want to fuss with anything, just install Vagrant if you haven't already and start the VM that way, and you'll have everything you need in there. You say Vagrant up, it gets in and actually provisions all of the software that you need through Ansible. And so if you have Ansible and Vagrant installed, it'll start this VM. It'll have Docker installed on it. It'll have all of the dependencies ready to go. All you got to do is run that script /start-container script, and it starts everything you need.
Oh, that's awesome.
So just as a data point, I just did that in the last 10 minutes while we were on this podcast, and it just works.
Ah, nice. That was all the noise in the background.
Nice.
Yeah, I got a mechanical keyboard.
Ooh, nice. Greens or blues?
That's great.
So I guess the real power in this comes with all the testlets and, you know, as people add interesting things to it that we can test. So other than the few you mentioned that are in the repository already, what else do you see coming?
Oh, yeah. So there are a number, again, one of the cool things about the design of that testlet first design of Todd is that you could define anything you want, and that's a feature that's built into it from the beginning. It's not something that was bolted on after. And the reason the way that I keep myself honest there, again, is anytime I write a testlet that I want to make part of, like, the Todd project, it's not part of the Todd agent itself. It's not baked in. It's actually a separate binary, but I'm still writing it using the same mechanisms. Yes, it's a Go binary, but it supports the same kind of arguments that it would require of a Python script, for instance. And so the sky's the limit there. I can see, you know, an enterprise saying, okay, cool, we've set up a bunch of tests with the three basic testlets that you've provided thus far, you know, ping, iperf, and HTTP. But let's actually add one of our own to work through and actually purchase something on our e-commerce site. So Amazon.com uses Todd to, or they don't, but let's just say they were, hypothetically, and you say, I want to go and log in as this user, and I want to log into my shopping cart, and I'm going to go purchase this item and all of these things, and then I want to get this result back. I want to go through this entire workflow that you would really, really need to have a custom script to do.
From all of the different locations.
Well, that's the thing, right? So, yeah, exactly. You could write that. Anybody can write that script today. You don't need Todd to do that. One thing that Todd can do is it can take that script and say, okay, cool. I'm going to now go do that from China. I'm going to do that from America. I'm going to do that from Europe. I'm going to do it from everywhere and provide you metrics from each of those locations at the same time.
Nice. That's a good one.
But you have to deploy the probes yourself. There is no infrastructure like RIPE Atlas, where you could just say, well, I would love to run this test on this shared set of probes.
Yeah, so currently Todd is not a hosted option. This is something you have to spin up yourself. That's one of the things that I've found interesting. There have been a couple people that have approached me about that kind of idea. Right now, I'm just getting the software right. But in the future, you know, absolutely, Todd could be some sort of hosted infrastructure where, you know, you don't even need to deploy your own agents. They're just sort of around the world waiting for you to use in a multi-tenant fashion. But that's, I would say, down the road considerably.
Yeah, you could just ask people to install this software on some free VM in their data center.
Sure.
It's like Atlas Probe. They ship you the probe, you plug it in, you're online.
Yeah, very similar in concept to the NLNOG ring nodes.
So another thing that I want to mention is right now the focus is on active testing, meaning the agents are sort of sitting there not doing much until you instruct them to. Very soon, once these testlets are more standardized and rewritten in Go, I'm going to be turning my attention to more scheduled testing, in addition to the on-demand. Obviously, it's part of the name, so I want to keep it. There's been a lot of interesting talk about being able to just simply say, hey, I'd like to run this application between all of the nodes sort of all the time, or at least at a pretty frequent interval. And that way, it's not really that optional for you to get a baseline. That's the real power of Todd, right, is running it all the time and then determining when things have changed. One of the reasons why I integrated with InfluxDB is because it's trivial to then spin up a container that's running Grafana, which, by the way, gets spun up when you run that startcontainers.sh script in addition to InfluxDB to visualize those metrics. And so I did a talk on Todd at Interop Vegas 2016, where I demonstrated basically an ongoing test. I had run a suite of tests through a script in a repeated fashion the night before my talk to gather hours and hours of metrics. And I actually was able to see a dip in the hotel internet connectivity, shocker, for a certain period of time that deviated from the baseline, which the baseline was pretty terrible, but that dip was absolutely visible. Again, you see that perspective from everywhere. And then I think adding that visualization is really important too, because then you can see things like, oh yeah, that dip was experienced everywhere. So that's probably a problem with the destination instead of any one source. The converse of which being, oh, it looks like I detected, you know, a latency spike, but interesting, it's only at this one site, or maybe it's at a subset of sites that all use the same internet service provider. Things like that are really important to visualize. And again, you know, the design goal of Todd is do everything in a stupid easy way. These metrics are not hard to get at. I output them to the screen for you. I push them into InfluxDB. They're JSON. They're not even that hard to read with your eyeballs, much less with a machine. And so Todd is all about generating those metrics and providing them in a no-fuss fashion.
The problem is always getting like the server capacity somewhere to be able to do that in a distributed fashion. That's how like the whole, I'm thinking about the NL lock ring thing as well, like Nick mentioned, yeah.
So getting the compute capacity to actually deploy these agents.
Right, in different places in different countries. I mean, unless you have a global network, right, where do you have stuff that you can put it?
Yeah, that's always the problem with that type of thing too. And then there's the, you know, the requirements, like the NLNOG ring nodes are essentially, most of them I think are VMs, right? So you have to dedicate a chunk of resources that you may or may not have to those things. And then they have other criteria that you have to meet to get onto what, you know, the quote unquote ring. You know, you have to have dual stacked connectivity, which some people just don't have. Whereas, you know, this seems significantly more flexible in what it can do and how it's deployed.
But it still needs to run somewhere, right?
Yeah, it still has to run somewhere. And that's why the flexibility, I think, is a very important piece of it. Because especially if you can get it running on the network hardware, like Vaughn mentioned, and like I'm going to bug Matt about like every so often until he gets it.
Yeah, so to that I'll just say, you know, it's a, you know, one of the reasons I chose Go is because it's a compiled language, and so if there's a target platform I can compile for, then it should run on it. You know, there's nothing that's part of Todd that's deeply woven into the operating system, and if, you know, if there's anything that I'm using that maybe depends on some specific call within Linux, then I shouldn't have that. That's not my intention. And so from a design perspective, there's no reason why that couldn't be possible. I should also mention again that the agent itself is extremely lightweight. It's really just a receiver of commands, and it needs to be able to store metrics. So it needs some storage space, not a lot of storage space. I'm talking, you know, a couple lines, because again, the intention is to, that's just a cache. The intention is to upload that to the server where presumably there's more capacity. And then actually, to be honest, from a CPU and RAM perspective, the testlets, meaning the separate processes that actually run the test, probably use more CPU and RAM than the agent itself. The agent is just sort of a local orchestrator. It receives these command and control messages from the server and then takes care of spinning up additional system resources for doing the test. So for instance, if you're testing against 10 targets, that agent is going to need to spin up 10 instances of ping, and it'll do that. Right. And then the testing compute resource requirements now are on that utility and not necessarily the agent. And so if you're concerned about compute capacity in general, then the agent is really nothing to be concerned about. If you have that space, it won't take that much. I've run the agent in Docker containers. I've run them in VMs. I've run them bare metal. And as I demonstrated at Interop 2016, I ran them on Raspberry Pis. I actually had a cluster of 3 Raspberry Pis that served as my data center. You know, huge air quotes here that you can't see.
So just to reiterate, the whole thing is open source, right?
Correct. Open source, it's on GitHub, and it's under an Apache V2 license.
So I can download it, I can start playing with it, and then I run into problems, and then I do what?
So you can, of course, open an issue on the GitHub site. In fact, I would recommend that you do that. That's probably going to be the most stable thing going forward. I mentioned there is a Slack channel. Every once in a while, somebody pops in there. So if you want to go to networktocode.slack.com, and check out the Todd channel within that, then that, you know, something that you can use as well. And of course, if you want to hit me up on Twitter, that's certainly possible. If at the very least I can direct you to something that, you know, that may be a little more appropriate than Twitter. These things can take more than 140 characters from time to time.
Yeah, and just to let everyone know, I think Jason has some auto-registration with his Network to Code Slack channel. So it's not like you would have to beg around for an invite or anything.
Yeah, exactly. You go to networktocode, networktocode.slack.com, and there's a Heroku backend for doing auto sign up.
How did you spell that so quickly?
So, nerd alert, but I won my first three spelling bees in elementary school, and I got second place in fourth grade. It was the devastation of my entire education.
Oh, I'm laughing so loud right now. Fantastic.
Yeah, that's no joke, actually. I don't think I've ever said that publicly, but I'm a huge dork when it comes to spelling.
I picked up on that immediately. Yeah.
Okay, so let's wrap this up on this note. If anyone wants to know more about Todd, there are two blog posts on your blog site, on your website, right?
Yes, there are. Best place to, I mean, I could put links in the show. I'll give you some links to put in the show notes, of course. But if you're listening, you could probably just Google my blog, keepingitclassless.net, and type in Todd. You'll undoubtedly find some posts there. And then, of course, the GitHub page is also very important if you want to get at the code. Right now, it's under my username, but I'm actually going to move it very soon. In fact, by the time this is published, it should already be moved. So the correct URL is github.com/ToddProject, TODDPROJECT, /Todd, TODD.
Any chance of getting that Interop presentation, or was it live demo that, of course, wasn't taped by Interop?
No, yeah, Interop doesn't tape anything on their presentations, but I believe I should be able to get the slide deck. That's not really going to help, though, that much, because I think it was like 95% live demo. But I'll see what I can get together, and I'll let you know, Ivan. We can put something in the show notes.
I've seen your slide decks, and they need a presenter to go with it, yeah.
Yes, they do.
And you mentioned your website. Did you mention your Twitter handle?
No, Twitter handle is Mirdin, M-I-E-R-D-I-N.
And that stands for what exactly?
That actually is not an acronym. What I did was, I think I was 12, and I was looking for a gamer handle, some game that I don't remember, and I wanted my handle on this game that I was playing to be sort of the Old English translation of Merlin, which the correct spelling was Taken, and so I just messed with it a little bit until I got something that was not, and it stuck.
I kept wondering what that meant. All right.
Yeah, apparently it's really close to a bad word in Spanish. I can assure you that that is totally coincidental.
Now I have to go look that up because I don't know that one.
Yeah, Italian would be also pretty close.
Yeah.
I can even see a French one in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So thank you very much, Matt, for this intro to Todd. When you have some more interesting scenarios, of course, we'll do another podcast. Everyone else, where can people find you? Let's start with Elisa.
I want to check this out. I need to play around with this some. Where can people find me? Still no Twitter, still no nothing. I have an email address.
But you have a website, right?
I have a website, probably, bigwaveit.org.
David?
Hey, so ipengineer.net for the blog. However, it's down at the moment. My server blew up, so I've got to mend that. Or vtep42 on Twitter.
And finally, Nick.
Oh boy, where am I? Forwardingplane.net. And I actually am almost done with a new blog post. I'm only like 3 months behind on one of those. So there's that, and I'm on Twitter at Braulio.
Perfect. Thank you, everyone. And you've been listening to Software Gone Wild, a podcast focused on everything software-defined. If you want to get more episodes, go to podcast.ipspace.net, where you can download them or just add them to your podcast player. For everything software-defined, there is sdn.ipspace.net, so go there and explore. And do remember, we were talking about software today, but it actually runs on hardware.